K540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Airports are a mess again today with more bad weather out east and millions trying to fly out for the holiday weekend. CBS's Jim Krasula talked to travelers.
Christina Bergstrand was stuck at Philadelphia International Airport as she tried to get home to Denver.
She sat on the tarmac for 4 hours and then we were able to get a rental car, but we waited for like 3.5 hours. It's exhausting, but I mean, again, what can you do? It's the weather.
More storms today in the Northeast could lead to additional cancellations and delays.
About 4,000 flights have already been affected. Our other big story today is the heat. It's killed at least 12 people now in Texas, and tens of thousands in the Mid-South don't have power. Andy Anderson sweating it out in Memphis.
My wife's bedridden, and we just, you know, I keep cold towels laid on her to keep her comfortable.
Then there are wildfires.
In Arizona, firefighters are battling a massive wildfire north of Scottsdale. The Diamond Fire burning through more than 2,500 acres of brush.
I'm very scared. Because we're in an area that is prone to fire.
Meanwhile, a thick haze blew over the Windy City. Wildfires from Canada left Chicago with the worst air quality in the world.
That's CBS's Jared Hill reporting. Debris from a lost submersible has now returned to land after a fatal implosion during its voyage to the Titanic last week. Investigators say that twisted chunks of metal, they will help them figure out what happened. President Biden called Russian President Putin somewhat of a pariah today as we learn more about its short-lived rebellion. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
CBS News has learned that U.S. intelligence believes a senior Russian general knew in advance of the mutiny. That raises the possibility that Wagner Group leader Yevgeny Prigozhin believed he had support within the Russian military. The New York Times reports the Russian general was a former top commander in Ukraine. He was replaced in January, but he's not the only commander who may have known what was about to happen.
Marine vet Daniel Penny has pleaded not guilty to choking a man to death on a New York City subway last month. Attorney Dante Mills represents Jordan Neely's family.
We don't want anybody afraid on the subway, but we want people to look at those that may be there in that situation and say, why and how can I help them?
Penny claims he was protecting himself because Neely was erratic. Costco's cracking down on memberships now and will start asking shoppers to show ID at self-checkout lanes. It's the same policy as regular checkout lanes, but Costco started noticing more people sneaking in with other people's cards. Costco's got about 66 million paid members. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. The usual places at the top of the unhealthy air list are in the Middle East, India, and China. Now it's Brookfield, Waukesha, and the Upper Midwest. Brittany Merlot has more about the Global Air Index.
The air quality scale ranges from 0 to 500, with anything over a 301 labeled hazardous for all. Yesterday, the western burbs of Milwaukee hit an AQI of over 350.
The AQI is ranging from the unhealthy to very unhealthy categories today. Some area pools and outdoor events have closed. There's no longer an active search, but Waukesha police say they're still following up on a possible child abduction yesterday afternoon. At around 1, a kid was walking a dog on Green Country Road at Oak Grove Lane when it's alleged a middle-aged white man walked up to the child. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTW Law.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stops. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam. Whip a scoring pass or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find the Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Alba Show. Glad to have you along with us, Mr. Evan Preston, our engineer, producer this fine day. Mr. Preston, how are you, sir?
I'm well, man. I'm doing really well today. It's a beautiful day.
It is. It is. The sun is out, although, smoky, as it turns out.
It is. But and the dog got me up at like 4 a.m. She was
4 a.m.?
She was acting. She was feeling some kind of way. I'm not sure. Oh. She was really going wild.
I wonder if pets are affected by all this smoke.
Has to be.
Right?
Yes. It's like a constant emergency. Fire, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, take care of yourself, whether it's your pets or yourselves. If you are someone who suffers from asthma or any sort of breathing problem, children as well, pretty much, you know, anybody, quite frankly, maybe think twice before spending a lot of time outside. These wildfires, not the fires themselves, but the smoke from the Canadian wildfires, spreading down into the U.S., into the Midwest right now, due to this kind of El Nino weather flow, bringing the air out of Canada from the north. Typically this time of year, according to meteorologists, most of the airflow is from the southwest. But now, because of climate change, other things, we have this airflow down from Canada bringing all the smoke down here. It's supposed to clear out maybe by, at least more so, by tomorrow. And I guess talking to Pat Kreitlow, our colleague from Up North News, last hour, who is up there in beautiful, just north of Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls area on Lake Wissota, saying that it's not quite as bad up there. But here in Madison, the world headquarters of Civic Media, over to Milwaukee, down to Chicago, all those areas, saying that Milwaukee and Chicago, that area in particular, the worst air quality in the world today due to the climate conditions and the smoke coming down from Canada.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, and I know we saw the pictures earlier this year over in New York City. When all this kind of hit New York and with all the lights from the city and everything, it looked like a science fiction movie, kind of this orange glow and couldn't see the Empire State Building even from Manhattan. So be careful. If you're out there in Milwaukee, Madison area, kind of central and western Wisconsin today, take care of yourselves. Wear a mask or whatever you need to do to protect your breathing. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a great interview with a national film critic. How do you go about, you know, being objective about a movie? What's it like to sit through a movie that's no good and then have to write about it, right? Would you have to go to school to be a film critic? Or you just have to like movies? We're going to talk at the bottom of the hour, a film critic in with us from Los Angeles, California. Looking forward to that, so stay tuned for that at the bottom of the hour today. A great way to kind of round out the show. Coming up this half hour, I want to talk a little bit about, circle back to something we talked about a couple of days ago, and that is the University of Wisconsin system and some of these budget cuts that are happening in the state budget. And we were kind of short on time the other day when I brought this up, but I want to make sure that we punctuate this correctly so that everybody understands it. And yes, I grew up in Richland Center, Wisconsin. I'm an alum of UW-Richland and UW-Platteville in the southwest part of the state. And yes, my grandmother was the first woman to be a dean of a college at UW-Richland, and so I have a bias towards that. I'm not ashamed to say that. Very proud of what she did. But I have an appreciation and a knowledge of the University of Wisconsin system that not everyone has. Not because I'm smart, but because I just lived it. And I want everyone to understand that whether you are in Superior, at UW-Superior, or whether you are at UW-Parkside, down by Racine and Kenosha, whether you are in UW-Marinette or UW-La Crosse, at River Falls or Sheboygan, at Oshkosh or Marshfield, all these places, Stephen, I mean, our entire state, right? Literally the Wisconsin idea. You hear that? Well, everybody uses the Wisconsin idea. People say, "What is the Wisconsin idea?" The Wisconsin idea is that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. That higher education should not be limited to simply places like Madison or Milwaukee, but that higher ed, quality, higher public, keyword public education, should stretch throughout the borders of our state. Affordable, accessible higher education. And the idea is not that people with a four-year bachelor's degree are any smarter than anybody else. They're not. It's just that in particular jobs, certain job, you know, careers, fields, you have to have a public, you have to have a four-year degree. Certainly our technical college system, also vitally important. We need more people in the trades than ever before. But now in this latest budget, going through the Joint Finance Committee, chaired by Howard Markline, Republican of Southwest Wisconsin, which represents my hometown, Richland Center, and UW-Richland and Platteville. Almost historic cuts to the UW system. A $32 million cut. Taking out the much-needed UW Engineering Building at UW-Madison. When I think it's $150 million in private money has been raised for that. And when we come back, I'm going to set this up for you once again. I want you to understand this. That Howard Markline is stiffing his own district. Not giving them a cent for closing Richland campus, but giving over $3 million. And God bless him, by the way, to UW-Washington County. We'll come back and talk about it. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Get ready to dominate the field like never before. Get to Soccer World in Brookfield. They have a great selection of shoes, apparel, and accessories to help kick your game into high gear. Soccer World's team of soccer experts have over 38 years of experience in the retail and soccer market. From cleats to shin guards, jerseys to coaching equipment, they'll help you stay ahead of the game. Plus, look to Soccer World for all your team business needs. Soccer World, 12615 West North Avenue in Brookfield, or online at soccerworldofbrookfield.net.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website civicmedia.us to see our entire lineup.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show. It is now coming up on quarter past the hour of 2 o'clock here. I had to think for a second. Good, it's 2:15 on the time and temperature side. Civic Media Radio Network, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Evan Preston. Happy to have you along with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, take a look at a film critic. What a film critic's life is. Great interview for you at the bottom of the hour. Until then, want to have a discussion on the UW system. Are you a graduate of the UW system? Do you have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews that went to the UW system? Do you think the Wisconsin idea, the idea that the borders of our university are the borders of our state, is that worth saving? We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Or we'll make it easy. 844-96-PARTY. That's P-A-R-T-Y. Love to have your phone calls and hear from you, your thoughts on the UW system, budget cuts, what the Wisconsin idea means to you. Do you think it's run its course? I mean, we'll listen to you. I don't think it's run its course. I think the Wisconsin idea and the University of Wisconsin system are vital, vital to our state's long-term sustainability. Its importance to the country and the world. And most importantly, simply to bring knowledge and a workforce base that is prepared for the next decade and beyond. Because like I said, I'm not a believer that everybody should go to college. I'm just not. There are a lot of wonderful, talented people that never go to a four-year college and do just fine. Thank you very much. A military, great place. One of the few regrets of my life. I wish I would have signed up and served my country in uniform. I never did that. Military is a great place to go if it's right for you. Tech college system, great place to go. But I believe that our four-year or our two-year systems, our UW system is vital to our state. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Mr. Preston will take your calls off the air and let me know, and we'll get you on air ASAP. I'm going to read you. I'm going to go through the four-year schools, and we're going to do the two-year schools, because I want you to understand, for those of you who don't know, how much UW system affects our state. Here they are, the 4 years. UW Superior, River Falls, Stout, which is in Menominee, UW Stevens Point, Green Bay, Oshkosh, La Crosse, Platteville, Madison, Whitewater, Milwaukee, Parkside, which is Racine Kenosha. Here are the two-year campuses. Barron County, Marathon County, Marshfield, Wood County, Marinette, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, Fox Valley, Appleton, Fond du Lac, UW Washington County, Baraboo, Richland, Rock, and Waukesha. You see how this affects all of our communities across the state of Wisconsin? Do you think this Wisconsin idea is worth saving? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Mark in the sack. Mark, we always appreciate you calling. What say you, sir?
Yeah, thank you. I actually went to UW Superior. I graduated there in 1980 with a degree in accounting and came to Madison to work for the DNR back in 81. But I mean, great school up there, international flavor to that school when I was going there. There's a bunch of students there from Nigeria, actually.
Wow.
That some of those kids were there from on scholarship, and some of those kids were there from they came from rich families. But that the school must have had an international reputation if, you know, you're getting, you know, kids from, you know, that is from far flung places. I mean, it is just it's sad to me that, you know, that Scott Walker, and maybe came in before Scott Walker, but Scott Walker really attacked the Wisconsin idea, where the purpose of the university wasn't just to provide little cogs for the workforce, it was actually to provide, you know, an educated citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that a valuable resource. I mean, that because you got the UW Extension program that has been helping out farmers for decades. I mean, that the attack on our public education system is criminal. It's actually criminal. The investment that they could make in the engineering school would pay probably treble benefits in the years to come. Any kind of investment you make in the public infrastructure provides benefits in the years to come. And let's face it, that a lot of these people that have made buku bucks here in Wisconsin have actually benefited from the socialist infrastructure we have in the state, our highways and byways, and that and law enforcement, you know, that safety programs. It just is, but they simply don't want to pay for it. I mean, it's part of the commons. I mean, that it is just, yeah, the idea of the commons is something that's completely lost on these people, and it's not a new concept. In fact, was it Thomas Paine had a pamphlet published back in, I think, the late 18th century, called Agrarian Justice, which actually proposed a lot of social safety nets programs we have today.
Mm.
I mean, that some of the first spending that George Washington signed, I think, was funding for taking care of our military veterans, you know, of the Revolutionary War.
And Mark, I apologize, I didn't catch it. What was the institution, which school did you go to?
UW-Superior.
Superior. Go ahead.
And I grew up, you know, in rural Douglas County. I mean, you know, fished a little trout stream, half a mile from the house. I was always splashing around in the creek that was, you know, ran through our property down there.
And I know you probably know this, but maybe a lot of our listeners don't. Probably the most famous alum of UW-Superior, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah, I saw him in the hallways, actually.
Did you really?
The same time he was.
No way.
Yes, I did. He was a big guy, and he was running with, I think he was jogging with the city attorney at the time.
Wow. So you went to school the same time as Schwarzenegger?
I went to school the same time as Schwarzenegger. He went to the business school. I think he was getting a 2-year degree up there when I was getting my 4-year degree in accounting. So it just is a big guy.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if I ever actually talked to him, but I saw him in the hallway there going between classes.
That's a fascinating. I was going to say it's super fascinating, but you bring up another great point on these students from Nigeria going to Superior. I grew up in, you know, Lily White Richland Center at the time in the late 70s and 80s, and started at UW Richland in 1988 or 89, and we had the Central American Scholarship Program, and the wonderful experience of growing up in a predominantly white area, whether it's Douglas County or Richland County, and having exposed to culture and people and thoughts from different countries, different cultures, different ethnicities, it made me grow as a person. And the irony, Mark, of now we have Scott Walker, Robin Voss, and the Republicans attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion in our UW institutions, when to me, Mark, that's a large part of what made my college education.
Well, I cut my teeth on, actually, you know, half mile down the road from where I grew up, one of my best friends happened to be a person of color. I mean, and they adopted an older brother at the time was another person of color. So I mean that it was when it was, you know, playing football with the little girls across the street there, he'd come down and my mother would call us all in for having Kool-Aid and cookies on the steps there. So it was just he was just one of the boys.
Right.
I mean, they're both just one of the boys because you're playing just all playing together, and it was and this is when all the foment was going on in other places in the country, of course, that I was only tangentially aware of, but I mean I couldn't figure out what the problem was, because he was just another kid like I was.
Right.
I mean, it is just sad that, and now, you know, the same dog whistle politics, I mean, this is going on today. I mean, Trump gave a speech the other day that the only word he left out was Jew. I mean, when he was making that speech, because there was something that couldn't come out of Adolf Hitler's mouth. I mean, that it just is, and the Republicans have not condemned that.
No, the dog whistles are ridiculous, and I love your calls, Mark. Love your insight. I think it's fantastic you went to school with Schwarzenegger, and thank you for bringing up this point of the how much diversity makes the college experience richer. Mark in the sack, thank you very much. Really appreciate you, my friend. Have a great day. Before we leave this topic, I again just want to make sure. So we went through. I told you all these 4 and 2 year colleges in Wisconsin, part of the UW system, and again, to put a point on this, Howard Mark Lyon represents the Richland campus. It's his own district. And look, you know, politics, I don't bring home, you know, pork or whatever. I'm not going to do this. What happens? All right, it happens. Not saying it's always the right thing to do, bring home pork. But if you're a smart politician, you take care of your district. And here was his own constituents, Howard Mark Lyon and Representative Tony Kurtz. Several town halls asking their senator and state representative to somehow save the campus. And if they couldn't save the campus, then at least give us money to transition to do something else with the property. And they stood there with their hat in hand and said, well, you know, there's just, we don't have, you know, you think that Todd and these other people say we have all this power. We just don't have that power. We don't have power like that. We're not that strong. And then what happens? As reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer, and it was politics this week, the Joint Finance Committee, chaired by Howard Mark Lyon, with Tony Kurtz on it, is putting forth a motion, and if signed into law, would give UW-Washington County $3.35 million, pending the Budget Committee's approval, to aid in the transition to going from a two-year college to merge with a technical college. And as far as Kelly Meyerhofer could find out, neither system nor the tech colleges asked for this. Or at least nobody wants to claim and say they asked for it. I try to be as fair as I can to people. And again, we've invited Howard Mark Lyon and Tony Kurtz to be on this program to their face, and they have declined. And I can't help but, and listen, you want to hear a confessional? I'm not even Catholic, but I'll give you a confession. I helped elect Howard Mark Lyon. I went to, knocked on doors for him, to the assembly. Went to Dodgeville, went door to door, put up yard signs, had lunch with him. I drove in a snowstorm there and back an hour and a half to go to his inauguration. I'm partly responsible for this. So it's not like Howard Mark Lyon doesn't know me. He won't come on this show and answer I don't think it's a tough question at all. But he won't come on here and talk. I know why. Because he knows I know the truth. And he doesn't want to talk about it. And this is the reason I keep bringing this up is, if you are in one of those municipalities that I read off, this could visit you next. Call your own state senator, your own assembly person, and tell them to stop this madness. Save the Wisconsin idea. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbull Show.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Frustrations might be the only thing flying today, as bad weather affects more flights ahead of the holiday weekend. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Phoenix.
Flights are very full, and the TSA is saying Friday could be an all-time record at checkpoints. They expect it to be a very, very busy 4th of July holiday period.
Smoke keeps spreading from Canada's wildfires. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
We're going to be dealing with the smoke on and off for a while, as we still have over 300 wildfires burning across Canada. More poor air quality today and even haze lasting into tomorrow. Then we'll see improving conditions.
Texans are being urged to stay inside and stay cool as temps hit triple digits again. Matt Zavadsky's with MedStar Ambulance Service in Fort Worth.
So even if you're a lifelong North Texan and you think, oh, I can manage this because I deal with Texas summers all the time, we don't usually have this much humidity and have heat indexes this high.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. Meteorologist Paul Collar with the National Weather Service says we're a day or two away from clearing out in Waukesha and Milwaukee.
We think that, you know, over the next couple days that we'll see some diminishing trend with the smoke, but the air quality levels are still in that very unhealthy range.
The advisory at this point runs through tomorrow at noon. Collar says airflow switching to a westerly flow could help clear the air. Today, the air designation has been ranging from unhealthy to very unhealthy. Who will pay for it remains to be decided, but the Horizon West condos in Waukesha will likely come down this fall. The city and the condos homeowners association came to an agreement recently. However, ongoing legal issues with the insurance company are part of the outcome. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoik likes to brag about.
So our horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday, along with our producer engineer, Mr. Evan Preston. Great to have you today, Evan. And speaking, this is the pursuing truth, but this is the having fun doing it part here at the bottom of the hour on a Wednesday. We are pleased to welcome into the program this afternoon Tim Grierson. Pardon me. He is the senior U.S. critic for Screen International, writes about film and culture for the Los Angeles Times, Rolling Stone, and Cracked. Also the senior, pardon me, the vice president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association and author of seven books, including his latest entitled This Is How You Make a Movie. Tim, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Todd. How you doing?
I am fantastic. We were talking last segment on another topic, but Arnold Schwarzenegger came up. A lot of people don't realize Arnold Schwarzenegger went to college in Wisconsin at UW-Superior, way up north on the banks of Lake Superior up there. And, you know, he did okay for himself in film.
Yes, I was one of those people who did not know that that's where he attended college either. I actually grew up in Illinois, so I should know that. He used that degree and went out to Hollywood and did okay for himself and became, I live in Los Angeles now, and he was our governor for quite some time as well. So yeah, he's doing well for himself.
He did okay for a guy who went to school in Wisconsin in the far northern parts of Wisconsin. Tim, tell us a little bit about yourself. You said originally from Illinois. Tell us a little bit about your early background and how in the world did you end up being a film critic?
So I grew up in a small town in Illinois, about 18,000, about an hour away from the University of Illinois in Champaign. And I always loved movies and I loved writing. And I grew up in a small town and I loved it. My parents still live there in my small town. But I was always kind of wanting access to the wider world, and movies kind of were an early passport for me in terms of like that bigger world. I was one of those guys who grew up watching Skoll and Ebert, and the movies that they talked about that didn't play in my hometown theater, I was so interested in. And so I went out and sort of discovered those movies. And one thing sort of led to another. And one of the things I do as a film critic, even to this day, is I'm sort of discovering the wider world. I'm talking about movies that I love and trying to encourage people to check them out. So it's kind of the same thing I did when I was a kid, except now I'm very lucky I get paid for it.
That's even better. Do something you love and get paid for it. Was it something that you, did you go to college or a certain schooling for film to get into this? Or were you doing something else and kind of wanted, or did you always know from a young age, this is what I wanted to do and that's what you did?
I was very lucky. I went to USC Film School here in Los Angeles, and I was specifically in the writing program, the screenwriting program in Los Angeles at USC. But pretty early on, I knew that that wasn't really what I wanted to do. Screenwriting is a real craft, and it's a real art, and the people who are great at it, it's a lot of dedication. And I had such respect and appreciation for that world, but I just knew that that's not what I wanted to do. I really wanted to write about movies. And so I just went to as many films as I could go to in Los Angeles. Also, you have to remember, like, because I grew up in a small town, it was like, oh, I now live in Los Angeles. There are so many great revival theaters here. I can see so many movies on the big screen for the first time. And so I knew I didn't want to become a screenwriter. I knew I wanted to be a film critic. And so kind of from an early age, I knew I wanted to write about movies. And film school is not the only way you can do that, but it's a great introduction to kind of the bigger world of cinema and international cinema. And also just thinking about film as an art form and taking it seriously and being also around other people who also take it really seriously and really love it. That was, to me, as important as the movies I was watching back then in college.
Isn't it cool to be from a smaller place in the Midwest? I grew up, our mutual friend Chris Pauls and I both grew up in a town of 5,000 people in rural southwest Wisconsin. And, you know, you'd watch Letterman and you'd have some big movie star promoting a big show. And he'd say, you know, opening this weekend in select theaters, and hopefully one of your theaters have been selected. And I'm like, no, my theater's never selected. You know, it was never one of the big premieres, you know. And now, you know, for you to go out there and be in Los Angeles where all the premieres are happening, that would just be a personal cool factor to you.
First of all, Todd, I just want to compliment you on using a Letterman reference that I still use all the time. Really? I hope your city has been selected. I still use that. Yes, I never take it for granted. I've lived out in Los Angeles now for almost 30 years, and it feels still very, very special and very privileged to often, you know, I go to film festivals. I go to Sundance, I go to Cannes, I go to Toronto. And so often I'm seeing movies at their world premieres before anybody else has gotten a chance to see them. I'm writing about it. So that's even more of a sense of like, I'm just so lucky to see these things so early. And then like movies open up in Los Angeles and New York and they expand to Chicago or Houston or Austin or whatever. And yeah, I never get over the fact that I live in a big city, and it's not just movies. It's also like certain concerts and certain, you know, art exhibits come to bigger cities. And I guess I knew when I was young, because I was sort of seeking those things out. Like I, when I was a kid and those movies that didn't play in my select, you know, city, I would go to Champaign because like that was a college town. And sometimes art house and independent movies would go there. And that also seemed like such a bigger world. And I was like, oh, just imagine if you could live in a city where they show those movies all the time. And so I never take that for granted. I still feel incredibly lucky to see stuff. It is funny, though, you do get tired of going to premieres, I have to say, because sometimes they are so, because they sound super amazing, like, oh, like all the stars are there. But sometimes, especially now, kind of like pre-COVID and also especially post-COVID, it's a bit of a hassle in terms of just there's so much security, there's so much stuff that I still enjoy doing it, but you do have to deal with a lot of like kind of hassles and stuff like that. But regardless, it's just, you know, to be in Los Angeles around film, to get to interview the people I've gone, I moderate a lot of Q&As after screenings with like filmmakers and actors, because so they come to Los Angeles to talk about their movies. And so I get to do that. I also really, really love doing that. I couldn't have done that in my small town. So you're saying before about how cool it is to get paid for what I do. It's like, I would not do it for free. I'm very happy to be paid for it, but it's like, I'm very lucky to have the job that I have.
This might be a really terrible analogy, and forgive me, but you know, I think like you're a doctor. Anyone, you see naked people all the time. And it's like, how do you enjoy sex with your partner if you're seeing naked people all the time? I mean, when you're a film critic, when you see it all the time, when you're always seeing the films, do you still ever get like that movie magic? Like you go see, you know, a really good Indiana Jones or you know, I thought Top Gun Maverick was fantastic. Do you ever get kind of that movie magic tingle still, or is it now just work?
No, I still get that. I still get that. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy discovering things, whether it's new movies or an older movie I've just never had a chance to see. And I see it with an audience on the big screen and I think, oh, this movie is incredible. So no, I still get that. And I also have to say, when you write as much as I do and review as much as I do, you always go into it wanting that magic because, you know, it's, you know, certain movies, it's fun to rip on them and write negative reviews. But seeing a lot of bad movies is not fun. It's not fun. And so you always want the movie to be good because you are going to be sitting there for 2 hours. So why not have it actually be good at the same time? But no, I never get over the that thing of like, oh, a really great movie is something. I still connect to that like teenage version of myself discovering movies and being like, this is amazing. I've got to tell people how great this movie is. And I have not grown out of that.
That's fantastic. What's it like when you do go like, you see just like, you know, like three terrible, just, you know, terrible movies in a row, and you got to write about this? I mean, you said you kind of like to really go after somebody who made a bad movie. It's like how dare you? Like, what's it like?
Well, one of the things I think I was always, one of the most important things about me going to film school is, like I said, I was in a writing program, but also I saw like people who wanted to be directors or cinematographers or writers, and the process of like learning how to make your own films. So we made short films at film school at USC. You realize, number one, it is really collaborative. That cliche is totally true. It takes a whole village of people to make a movie, and more often than not, they are doing their best and are trying to make something good. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. I've talked to so many actors and so many filmmakers who are like, when you're in the midst of making a movie, you do not know if this thing is going to be good or not. Yeah. You don't actually know. And there's a mystery to it. And that's a long way of saying that while I will rip on a movie if it's not good and explain why it's not good, I tend to have a certain amount of sympathy, or at least I try to understand what the filmmaker is trying to achieve in the movie that they're making, and at least explain that to my audience. I want them to understand what the filmmaker is going for, and then if the movie is not good, I explain why they did not succeed in their task. But I at least want to like meet the filmmaker halfway and say, I see what you're trying to do here. I see what your movie is about and the themes that you're trying to express in this movie. So I always want to honor that intention and ambition. And then if the movie is not good, I have to say, And these are the reasons why it failed. You have to do that. Yeah.
Do you ever like take notes like on your phone or take a pad, or do you go in like with popcorn or whatever? Do you actually go as a participant, a quote unquote normal theater goer, and just sit and watch it and then write about it, or are you actually taking notes during the film?
It depends on the screening I'm going to. Often at film festivals, we're showing that movie for the very first time. We don't have any like press notes or credits beforehand. So for instance, I always joke about the fact that like one of the things I do in those screenings is I'm taking notes because I have to remember, is this couple married or are they dating? Are they engaged? Right. Like all those types of things, because you need to know that for the review, or like, are these two people cousins?
Yeah.
Are they siblings? Because if you don't know that stuff, so it's mostly like fact stuff that I'm writing down at like festival screenings. Screenings for movies like here in Los Angeles, I often won't take notes just because I just want to be absorbed in the experience as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes write down a quote if somebody says something in the movie where I'm like, oh, I want to use that in the review. Mm. I'll jot that down really fast. But if I can help it, I like to not take notes because I want to be as immersed as possible. Now, that being said, I have many colleagues who take lots of notes because for them, it's a way to remember the things they want to say.
Sure.
I just sort of feel like I'll remember. I'll remember what I want to say. I just want to be in that experience of that movie.
Do you ever have to like divide? Like for me, I just don't like horror movies. It's just not my thing. But do you ever go to a certain genre or a movie and you're like, well, that doesn't do anything for me. But as a critic, it was a really good film from a production standpoint. Do you ever find yourself with that juxtaposition?
Yeah, I sometimes will. I mean, sometimes like when you go to a film festival, you are seeing three films in a row and they're completely different genres. And you're like, I'm seeing a French horror comedy, then I'm seeing a domestic melodrama, and then I'm seeing an action movie.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not in the mood for those movies or in that order.
Back to back.
on that day, but that's the job. My job is to be kind of present and available and open to that movie at that moment. And I tend not to say, to your question, Todd, I don't say like, well, for this type of movie, it's good.
Right.
I'll just say, is this movie successful? Did I like this movie? Did I like the experience? But I also always go in thinking, what genre is this?
Yeah.
Where are the intentions of the thing that they're trying to make here? But yeah, the festival, you'll get such a weird like bounce of like, this and then this and then this, and you just have to kind of be open and open to the experience of that. But it's also pretty fun, I have to say.
About a minute and a half left in this segment. Can you stick around for another segment? You have time?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Before we go into the first break here, did you get lobbied like by publicists, that sort of thing, at these film festivals, come up and say, oh, well, this movie is good because, I mean, are they trying to sway your writing?
They don't try to sway me. People will definitely try to encourage you to see something, because at film festivals, there are so many movies are shown, and they'll be like, oh, you should really check out our movie because it's great. They're advocating for their movie that they're publicizing. So you'll get that. But I don't get the thing, thankfully, a publicist after the fact saying like, or trying to sway my opinion. I think they respect critics and professionals and know that type of thing just won't fly.
Tim Gerson is our guest, film critic from Los Angeles. We'll be back with him after this. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Elwell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family.
Let's talk about the ice cream.
16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison.
The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer.
Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs.
Baseball and hot dogs, they go together like front porches and rocking chairs.
And with Village Hearth Buns, you don't have to go to your local ballpark to enjoy a really good hot dog. Just grill up a package of quality Franks and serve with your favorite toppings on a Village Hearth Bun. They're the same delicious buns served at baseball stadiums throughout the Midwest. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It is now 2:50 on the time and temperature sign. Coming up at 3 o'clock, your world and national news, followed by a quick check of weather. And then it is Matt Flynn direct with our friend and colleague Matt Flynn from 3 until 4. 4 o'clock brings the Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom. 6 o'clock, the Maggie Dawn Show. Almost forgot the schedule there. And then it's 8 o'clock, Rick Smith Across America. And tape delayed at 10 o'clock. It is Native Roots Radio with our good friend Robert Pilot. Right now we are talking with a wonderful guest this afternoon. He is Tim Grierson, and he is a film critic, the senior U.S. Critic for Screen International. Also writes for Los Angeles Times, Rolling Stone, and Cracked, and written 7 books, including his latest called This Is How You Make a Movie. What? It sounds fascinating. I mean, I love the movies. I love going to the movies. COVID's kind of changed how I watch movies, quite frankly. I'm streaming. I never thought I would ever. I'm 53. So, I mean, I thought, like, I'm just always going to be going to the theater. But I have to say, like, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this. I saw Top Gun Maverick. I streamed it at home. And I know it didn't have nearly the same effect as seeing it in the theater, but it was a great movie, in my opinion. But so what's the book, How to Make a Movie, How You Make a Movie, rather, pardon me, what is it about?
So it is a book about, well, I'll say this. I was approached by my editor about the book, and the idea was write a book about all the different aspects that go into the filmmaking process. You know, in the last segment we talked about, you know, it's a collaborative art. There's so many people who go into making the movie that you see either at home or on the big screen, and providing sort of a guide to viewers about directing and editing and music and acting and writing and production design and all those things, and provide not only sort of like definitions and terms for people, but also use examples from actual movies. And my editor said, I think we should call it This Is How You Make a Movie. And I felt very sheepish about that title because it sounded so incredibly presumptuous. But I wrap my head around it by thinking, well, the reason why the book will be interesting is because if I use all these different examples from different films to illustrate these film concepts, whether it's silent films, current films, kids films, international cinema from all around the world, people will read the book and realize, oh, there's not one way to make a movie. Mm-hmm. There's actually many, many, many ways. And sometimes my examples will contradict each other to show, well, you can do it like this, or you can do it like this. There's actually no rules. And so I actually really like the idea of This Is How You Make a Movie as the name of the book, because there are multiple ways to make a movie. And my book, hopefully, illustrates people all those different examples. And the other thing I would say that I love about the book that I've gotten in terms of feedback from people is people will say, because each of the illustrations I make about film concepts, I use 3 different movies. And often readers will tell me, I knew 2 of the movies, but the 3rd movie I wasn't familiar with, but now I really want to see that movie. And so I hope I'm also like sneaking in like suggestions for people of like, maybe if you know these concepts, you know these movies, maybe you'd be interested in this movie too. So I'm also kind of advocating for certain movies at the same time.
I think it's fact. I can't wait to read the book. It's called This Is How You Make a Movie. And my sister and I were talking over the weekend because of this whole tragedy that happened with the submersible submarine, whatever you want to call it, went after the Titanic. And it turns out you shouldn't probably take a prototype down that far. You're going to get killed. And they had James, I think on CBS, they had James Cameron on. And my sister's like, why they have him on as an expert? I'm like, well, my gosh, I mean, he did years of research. There are probably few people that know as much about the Titanic. And also he went down there himself. The point is to make a movie, and not everybody's James Cameron, but agree or disagree, to make a movie well, particularly an epic like Titanic, you have to put in years of research.
Yeah, and I mean, he's made separate documentaries about just like his deep sea diving stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's a true passion that he also then made a movie about at the same time. Yeah, I mean, the thing also about my book is I did not interview filmmakers for it, but I just combed through a bunch of interviews that they've given over the years that spoke to the different things that I want to talk about in the book, to hear from them and get their perspectives on these things. I mean, the thing I really wrote it for people who are getting into film or people who just like love movies, but like never went to film school.
Right.
And I've actually been very gratified, frankly, that a lot of my colleagues have said, oh, I feel like I got a lot out of this book too. Because I was sort of assuming it would be more for people who just, you know, just people who just like you, Todd, who just like movies, and don't speak that language and don't ever think about it, and to make it accessible for folks and just say, this is all the stuff that goes into a movie. And I find that stuff fascinating. And it seems like a lot of readers have found it really fascinating, which I'm so happy about. It's been nice to, you know how it is with social media. Like, I've had random people on the train in France do Instagram stories reading my book. It's been translated into a bunch of different languages.
That's
and I'm just I'm so grateful and so appreciative of people being like, oh yeah, like I'm reading your book here and I'm reading your book here and like I'm loving it. And so people in Russia are reading my book. I find that unbelievable.
Time always goes fast. I apologize, about 2.5 minutes left. Our mutual friend Chris Paul said, make sure you ask him about sneaking candy into theaters. What's that all about?
I don't know, Chris. What's this? So my policy is I'm actually not a big food eater in general. I think you should support your local theaters and buy the concessions from the theater. Don't sneak candy. I know it's overpriced at the theater, but to your point earlier, Todd, you know, about it being, you know, post COVID, people are kind of coming back to theaters.
Yeah.
I'm a big theater advocate. People should do what makes them feel comfortable, but I missed going to theaters, I have to say. I missed it, and when I started going back to it, I was like, I like the crowd. I like the big screen. I like the trailers. I love the whole experience of going. So, Chris, I'm going to report you if you sneak in candy
to
your local multiplex.
Yeah. All right. Literally a minute left. I'm sorry I haven't left more time. Any big movies that you're looking forward to that our people should see this summer?
We made the joke before about being select theaters.
Yes.
This incredible movie called Past Lives opened a few weeks ago. It's expanding across the country. I cannot recommend it enough. It's from a first-time filmmaker named Celine Song. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous, tremendous film. It's sort of a romantic drama. It's great. I have recommended it to dozens of people. No one has come back to me with a complaint. They've all loved it.
Are you looking forward to Indiana Jones or not? I hope it's good. I just want the last one to be good. Because I didn't
I've seen it. I have bad news for you,
Jeff. Oh, God. Really? Oh, I'm sorry to end on that note. All right. Well, it was great having you here. Tim Gerson, would love to have you come back anytime. You're absolutely fantastic. The senior U.S. critic for Screen International. Also catch him in Los Angeles Times, Rolling Stone, and Cracked. Thanks so much, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Stay with us now as in the 3 o'clock hour, Matt Flynn directs us next. Don't go anywhere. Great program ahead. We will see you tomorrow. Remember, whatever you're believing in, whatever you're fighting for, keep doing it, my friends. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is Civic Media. Keep banging on your drum.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.